John chapter 15. John chapter 15, probably a familiar passage to you. A recent Peanuts comic strip had Charlie Brown and Lucy together. Charlie Brown asked her, "You know what I wonder? Sometimes I wonder if God is pleased with me. Do you ever wonder if God is pleased with you?" In the last frame, Lucy turns to him and says with a confident smile on her face, "He just has to be." Are you that confident? Why? Why would you be that confident? Do you ever wonder if God is pleased with you? Do you ever wonder if God is pleased with us as a church? Well, what does it take to please God? Jesus describes your relationship with Him and with others and how it is to be pleasing to God. More than mere sentiment, it is action. Are you pleasing to God? Let's read chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another." How do you please God? Pleasing God begins when your faith in Christ grows. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? God created a perfect, sinless world, and he placed mankind in it. You, through his free will, chose to disobey the one thing that God told him not to do. And that doing, that act of doing, is called sin. The Bible calls that sin. And because of that sin, a price had to be paid by man, the price of death. But Christ came to pay that price, a substitutionary death. That's a big word, but it's in place of death. He came to pay that price. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save that which is lost." To have Christ pay your debt for your sin or disobedience, you have to ask. You have to ask him to do that, to respond to the word that he spoke. We have to turn over control of our lives to him. Place your faith in Christ. Have you placed your faith in Christ? A simple illustration of what faith means is not mere mental assent. Well, I believe that's true. Faith is when you sat down on that pew, you walked up to it and you said, boy, I think that thing will hold me up. But until you sat down on it, you didn't have faith in it. When some of the family scattered over the last weekend, thank you, Lord, that they went home. Thank you, Lord. You can quote me on that one. They went down to Sumter to where one of the nieces and her husband run a Christian camp, and they went on a zip line. And coming up out of Clayton yesterday, I saw the advertisement for the zip line. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure about that rope. That's not having faith. Having faith would be to get on that rope and go zipping. You can say, I believe in Jesus, but until you have faith, until you've placed your faith in him, do you really have faith? This passage is the core to this section where Jesus is saying farewell to the disciples. And he uses an analogy to explain the relationships that they would have understood. Jesus said, I am the branch. I am the vine. You are the branch. God the Father is the vine dresser. They would have understood a grapevine. And he said, I am the vine. You are the branch. And he says that we are to bear fruit. We are to bear fruit. Bearing fruit is there being more fruit. More and more and more fruit. That's bearing fruit. He said, you are the branches. Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to bear fruit in us and through us. Fruit, as one commentary said, it is communicating the authentic message of life and life of Jesus to the inauthentic and hostile world. Fruit is produced as the branches draw strength and vitality from the vine. And to do that, we have to abide in Christ. We have to stay in him. It's not brush up against him once a week. It's to stay in him. It's not to wave hello to him every couple weeks or every week or whatever. It is to stay in him. We are to abide in Christ. Because he says, apart from him, you can do nothing. Well, we're pretty good at doing nothing, aren't we? We can all do nothing, but there's no fruit there. He said, abide in Christ, abide in me, so that you can bear fruit. But understand, too, that the Father as vine dresser does several different things. One is that he feeds, yes, but he also prunes. And he even goes so far as to say that if you as a branch have dried up and are no longer bearing fruit, then you get cast aside. But the vine dresser feeds the vine and he prunes the vine. Now let me tell you, pruning is never pleasant. But it's necessary. Pruning is never fun. But it's so pivotal. So critical to us bearing fruit. We got to be friends with a family there in Westfield through our kids in sports. I think I know I coached their little boy. And the young man, they were younger than us, and the father had grown up there in Westfield. And after going to school and marrying, they moved back, and they bought the old family home place. It was an old, old house. Just what when you envision a over 100-year-old house, that was it. Well, in the backyard was a grapevine. We ate many a grape and made quite a bit of grape jelly that came off of that grapevine. The vine was over 100 years old. But when they bought the house, it didn't produce any grapes because no one had tended to it. Our friend fed it, he pruned it, and it produced. fruit. I remember seeing something on TV about how to grow fruit trees, and I am not any good at it. I'll just admit that to you straight up. But specifically, the program was talking about how to prune a fruit tree to make it produce. Two things I remember from that. One was is that if in doubt, clip it. If in doubt, just... And anything that is growing, any branch that's growing to the middle, prune it. Now think about that for a minute. Anything that's growing into the middle, when it's all about me, when it's all about what I want, when it's all about me as the paying customer, then we don't care about bearing fruit, and we are to bear fruit. So think about this past week. Was there any pruning going on? But pruning is necessary because it gets our attention. It's painful, yes, but it gets our attention. And the Lord uses it to shape us and ultimately for us to bear His fruit. He also feeds us. That's why reading and studying the Bible is so critical, so important for your faith, for your growth. And that's what the listening report is about, to urge you, to encourage you to read, to listen. Because He needs to feed us. Prayer is important. Meditating on God's Word is important. But also fellowship with like-minded believers is important. Because all these things contribute to our growth. So are you growing? Are you really growing as a believer? Are you growing as a follower of Christ? Are you growing as someone who claims to claim the name of Christ? Is your faith growing so that you may be pleasing to the Lord? Are you pleasing to God? Pleasing God continues when your obedience to God's Word grows. Do you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord? See, that's been one of the controversies, one of the things that people talk about when they talk about a relationship with Christ. Some have tried to distinguish or make separate the fact that He is my Savior and the fact that He is my Lord, my boss, my master, the one who that I'm going to obey. And I would suggest to you that they're one and the same. Because until you obey Him, I don't think that you truly believe in Him, that you truly have faith in Him. And sometimes we want to say, well, I didn't know that. Ignorance is no excuse. God's Word is there for us. God's Word is dependable for us. God's Word is trustworthy for us. God's Word is infallible for us. And as God's Word comments on God's Word, we can see exactly what God intends for us. Jesus goes on to describe abiding in Him in verse 7 as His words abiding in you. And abiding is His word staying, taking up residence in you, changing your heart and your mind. So we are to abide in Christ and let His words abide in us. And then He says that ask whatever and it will be done for you. Let me tell you, when Christ has changed your thinking, when Christ has changed your heart, then whatever you're going to ask is going to be pleasing to Him, and He's going to want to do it. And it's going to bring Him glory, and He's all for that. But we need to obey. We need to obey. We need to abide in Christ. We need to abide in His words. And we need to keep His commandments. That's how you abide in His love. If there is no obedience, there is no abiding. If there is no abiding, there is no fruit. If there is no fruit, you're not a disciple. And if you're not a disciple, there is no joy. Came across a story that Chuck Swindoll tells. He and his wife got to spend an evening with a former astronaut, General Charles Duke. All who were there listened closely as he told, General Duke told of the Apollo 16 mission to the moon, what it was like driving Rover, you remember that? And his actually walking on the surface of the moon. That's almost beyond belief, isn't it? At some point, General Duke was asked about making his own decisions or maybe carrying out a little experiment of his own. One question was, could they have stayed a little longer on the moon? Could he have done that? And sure was the general's reply if we wanted to stay there forever. He went on to describe the intricate plan, the essential discipline necessary, the instant obedience that was needed down to the split second. And Chuck's impression about the evening's discussion was that a rebel doesn't fit inside an astronaut suit. There has to be unconditional respect for authority. There has to be obedience. Do you have that kind of obedience? That kind of respect for Jesus and His Word? Are you praying, asking for what you wish? The world says, pray and ask for money, material things. Jesus said, pray for more fruit. And I got to tell you, I came across a similar passage earlier in John back about a month ago. And the question that was asked in the book I was reading said, do you have joy? What would make your joy more full? And part of my prayer is that this church would bear fruit. That this church would bear fruit. And if my joy is full, God is being glorified. Because my joy is going to be found in Him. Pray for fruit. Are you praying for fruit for people to come to Christ? How much do you let culture speak to Scripture rather than Scripture speak to culture? Are you willing to obey God's Word no matter what the emotional baggage it may brush up against? One of the accusations I have seen leveled against Christians and churches about the gay marriage issue is, why don't Christians and churches teach against and obey the Bible about divorce the same way? Another question one person raised was, am I being consistent in my following everything the Bible says, or am I interpreting and rationalizing the parts that make me uncomfortable to make it consistent with my worldview? Jesus said, abide in Him. His Word, and obey, so that you may be pleasing to the Lord. Are you pleasing to God? Pleasing God culminates in your love for others. Do you know Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, and as your role model? Are you as loving as Jesus is? Jesus continues. He explains that His commandments, that we are to obey them. And He said that love one another then just as I have loved you. Keep on wanting what is best for the other person. Keep on doing what is best for the other person, not just what they want. Not just what they want. What you know that is best for them. And He goes on to describe what loving others looks like. It is laying down your life, He said, for a friend. Now, He uses the word friend in a way that most of us don't hardly understand because it's a covenant term. You look back into the Old Testament and see how God used the word friends. He used it with Moses and He used it with Abraham. We just kind of use it as a flippant, you know, he's my friend, he's this. You might know his name. You might even know where the person lives. But there's no covenant relationship. He said the way you see love is that you lay down your life for your friend. That is letting the other person's need take over precedence of whatever you have going on. And that is what Jesus did. He laid down his life for his friend. For us. For us. And in verse 16, he states the purpose of all this. It is that he worked in our lives so that we would go and bear fruit by loving others. It's not about privilege, it's about purpose. Bear fruit by loving one another. I made a batch of ice cream on the 4th of July. And I did it in the presence of one of the little nephews. He's about 4 or 5. And he saw me working on it. He saw me pour ice into it. And then he saw me take rock salt and put over the top. And I said to him, the ice by itself would not make it cold enough for all this milk and stuff to become ice cream. But the salt does something with the ice. And it becomes ice cream. Now, as a 4 or 5-year-old, I don't think he got it. Because as a 50-something-year-old, I don't think I get it, really. How in the world, Lord, did you make it to where when you put salt on ice, it makes it colder? But he did. And that's kind of that's what I come up with as an illustration. That when God takes our faith and combines it with our obedience, it becomes love. Because faith alone, our faith alone won't save anyone. And our obedience alone won't save anyone. But as we love others, as we deal with them in a way that is ultimately for their best, fruit comes. So how many problems would disappear in churches, in homes, in marriages, if people began to love one another as Christ loves us? How many problems would disappear as professing Christians had true faith in God and His Word enough to obey it? We could probably spend the rest of the afternoon listing all the things in our world, in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our community that would be fixed, changed, made new if we would begin loving one another. The first two points are about our vertical relationship with the Lord. Having faith in Him, obeying His Word. Having faith in Him enough to say, you know what, I'm going to do exactly what He says. But then the third point is about how we go out and be the body of Christ. It is about us bearing fruit. So do you really have faith that could be described as being connected to Jesus? Remember, He's the vine. You're the branch. Are you obeying His Word? Unless your faith is so real it changes your behavior, it's not faith at all. And the last point is about the horizontal relationships you have with others. Are you loving? Are you truly wanting what is best for the other person? Are you pleasing to God?